Just about any discipline that there is, whether it be in the physical world or the spiritual world, there is an element to learning the discipline, and the element is repetition. Repetition is extremely significant in the learning process and in the building of any kind of a discipline. Muscle memory is taught through repetition. That's why you go to the gym and they say do reps. You know, the repetition of the same thing over and over again builds a certain discipline. And the same thing's true in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit. So when you're looking at spiritual truth, the repetition of hearing that truth brings illumination to it. You may look at a truth and you'll say, well, I've heard that before. Here's the problem. The more you hear it, the more immune you can become to it. So you close yourself off to any illumination of the truth. The reason repetition is important in the Word of God is because the Word of God is alive. It's not just a book. I hold in my hands a copy of the Word of God. But this Word of God that I hold is not just a book. According to its own writings, this Word of God is a person that is alive. As a matter of fact, the writer of John says this, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Okay? In John's Gospel, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then in verse 14, same chapter, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. It's talking about Christ. So the Word of God's more than a book. It's a person, which means it's alive. Now, what does that have to do with repetition? When you hear something over and over and over again, it means that there is illumination to that truth that can come alive in you and bring about more deeper revelation. How many of you understand what I've said so far? So I know you've heard about warfare, and we're going to talk today about spirit world warfare. There's a reason why this is significant. I don't know if anybody here has paid attention much, but if you've been paying attention, there are extremely tacky things happening to the grace place. I don't know if you've caught on to that, but it's almost like it's unusual. It's borderline mysterious, the things that's going on. For example, let me give you an example. The cancer that developed in me, I was told, was such a rare cancer that 1 in 2 million get this type of cancer. Problem is after this came about, we've found out, 2 or 3 right in this area have the same kind of cancer. It's kind of insane, isn't it? In this past, well, since that, of course, Lori is being attacked tremendously. I talked to her this morning on the way here, and her mother, they're going through difficulties with her mother and taking her off of oxygen, trying to wean her off of medication, different things, and they've called the family in. Lori's been so sick herself that she was not able to go to the hospital and even see her mother. And so that created a dilemma. Haley developed such a heart arrhythmia or an irregular heartbeat this past week. It scared me within an inch of my life. There's not many things, and I'm honest with you, when I say this, I'm not saying it to my credit, probably to my stupidity. There's not many things on this earth that scares me. Me getting sick's not that big of a deal, but I cannot stand to see Haley get sick. It wipes me out. And she struggled this past week. We had to take her to the doctor, and she's still struggling with that. Come to find out, Miss Helton in our church has the exact same thing going on that Haley does in this church. Okay? Our pastor's been sick. Our pastor's wife has struggled with COVID. On and on, Sherry's foot. I mean, it's almost to the point where I'm starting to say my aching toe, you know. It's just getting tacky. And so I had some conversations with some people this week where I said, I found myself compelled to say this, okay, look, enough is enough. At some point, you've got to rise up and you've got to take the offensive stance instead of the defensive stance. It's obviously clear to me that a lot of what's happening in our church is due to spirit world warfare.
Yes, it is, Jeff.
And it's a different kind. It's not the same kind. There are many different types of warfare talked about in the scripture. We're going to go quick. I'm hoping that you'll grab a hold of what we're talking about. But our text is going to be found in Job chapter 1. Verses 6 through 12, that's the passage being considered, and I'm going to try to go fast, and I just really need you to focus in and exit everything else out of your mind for a minute. We're going to talk first about different types of warfare, okay? Different types of warfare. When we think about warfare, there's a lot of people who don't really understand that there are different types of warfare. We think we're all in the same kind of warfare. Listen to this. This is one statement we can make. We are in warfare all the time. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, repeat this with me. We are in warfare all the time. Say it with me. We are in warfare all the time. The basis for this is found in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. We're not going to be able to go through all the scripture, but maybe you can write it down, jot it down, and look at this scripture. You're familiar with Ephesians 6. If you look at 2 Corinthians 10, okay, and compare it with the full armor of God of Ephesians 6 and what we wrestle against in Ephesians 6, it'll indicate to you that this is a type of warfare that's listed that we are in all the time. There is no second, whether awake, and if you can handle this, even when you're asleep, that you're not in warfare. Let me give you a flash, okay? Here's a news flash. Breaking news, so to speak. You live and operate behind enemy lines. You're not in a safe place. You are in spiritual warfare all the time. That is a type of warfare. Listen to this. Warfare in general is the constant battle of good versus evil. Y'all hear that? Look at me. The constant battle we face is we are caught up in this chess match, so to speak, between God and Satan, and it's playing out on the earth, and it's good versus evil. So here's the enemy's strategy. He has to redefine good. Okay? Now this has been going on since the Garden of Eden. What was the tree called? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So if you trace it by all the way to Genesis, run it all the way through, here's what you begin to learn. You've heard me say this before, but again, repetition is important. Good is just as much the enemy of God as evil is. God planted the tree in the garden and said, this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. It represented man's choice. Are you going to choose God or are you going to choose to rebel against God? Here's what God is saying. God did not want man to know what was good. Knowledge of what is good means there's knowledge of what is evil. God wanted man to know God, not good or evil, but to know God. So the battle since Genesis has been on the earth, this constant warfare in general, has been the battle of good versus evil. According to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, every bit of this is backed up. Listen to this. This constant battle is manifested through philosophy, government, morality, and human intellectualism. From human intellectualism, you have the basis for university thought, higher education, and human reasoning. All of that is capped in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 and describes the constant battle in general that we face of good versus evil. Now look at this. Specific warfare deals with an individual which is designed specifically for you. This is the warfare that Grace Place finds ourselves in. Okay, this is where we're at. Now, folks, listen to what I'm telling you. When truth is offered, then responsibility to truth is enacted. The very fact that you're hearing this truth means you're responsible for this truth. To be responsible for this truth requires a reaction from you. You will respond to this truth one way or another. The reason I'm doing this teaching, and I was compelled all week to do this teaching, and I was trying to figure out what is it that God is saying to us through all of these things, and we're going to get into this in a little bit. There's going to be some things I'm going to say, it's going to sound contradictory, but you got to bear with me. The reason I'm doing this is because everybody's being attacked. I'm waiting for the next phone call to say who's going through what. Okay? Why? Because it appears as though that in the spirit world warfare, we are now passing as Grace Place, as a local body, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, but as a local unit, as a cohesive body that is a representation of the larger body of Christ, we have been targeted for some reason for the enemy to attack. So we are under an individual specific kind of warfare that you need to respond to. Okay? And so through this week, I've been talking to the Lord. Lord, what in the world is going on? This is what's going on. This specific warfare is the case with the story of Job. Now listen to this. Watch this now. Local church warfare is designed around the culture and season of time that we are in as a local body. The seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation describes this kind of warfare. Now, I'm doing this writing on Revelation, and I started a podcast on Revelation, and I'm hoping it'll start getting posted. Just doing it by myself and putting it up. I'm going through the book of Revelation line by line, word by word. And we're going to try, if God will let me live long enough, to get through the whole book. That would be a wonderful thing. And you say, whoa, you're going to, but let me tell you, it's going to take me years. I'm planning a 20-year deal here, all right? I did a podcast and I didn't get to the first verse yet, if that tells you anything. What did you say, Don? You said something. And I think it requires repentance right quick. Did y'all hear the pastor's word? Of course you didn't. Seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. Every individual church may be vulnerable to certain attacks. Here's what that's based on. Listen to this. Those seven letters, Jesus had something to say to each church. He gave a commendation to each church. He also gave a condemnation to each church. All of those condemnations were different. Why? Because they were under attack in different ways. So every church comes under attack by what is the weakest point we have. It is designed around weak points. Okay? Can I tell you something? When you get sick, guess what that sickness attacks? The weakest point in your body. You hear what I'm saying? That same thing is true in the church. So it's designed specifically for each individual. Now watch this. We're going to talk about foundational principles of warfare. These are just merely simplistic foundational principles of warfare. And here's where we're going to get into some contradictory statements, so to speak. But listen to this. During warfare, it's not the time to try to understand what's happening. Did y'all hear that? If you try to understand what's happening while it's happening, you're going to end up in frustration. God, why? Anybody ever had that question? God, why? And I go back to something God put in me years and years and years and years ago. Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? What was the principle of truth Jesus was teaching us? Listen, he was not questioning God as to why it was happening. Jesus was God. He knew what was happening. He had already uttered before it happened what was going to happen. Why did he say that? He was saying that for our understanding that we don't need to know why. If you'll remember, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's no record of God speaking back to him about that. What Jesus was teaching us was this. It's not important for you to know why it's happening. It's just important for you to know there is a why. Y'all didn't hear that. You didn't hear it. And you need to hear it. It's not important why it's happening. It's just important to know that God has a reason. There is a purpose. Please everybody say amen. So even when you find the smallest purpose or the smallest blessing, then you can shout glory to God even in the middle of your infirmity, according to what Paul said, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. You'll glory even in your warfare. So during warfare is not the time to try to understand why this is happening. Here's something else you need to know. During warfare is not the time to learn how to respond to what's happening. I'm telling you, this is contradictory, I know, because here I'm trying to teach us how to respond in the middle of this warfare. But the reason I'm doing it is because I don't think that we know. I think that we're blind a little bit concerning this. And I think that's why God wants us to give the teaching. I'm trying to give you this statement, which is a foundational truth, but it's based on an ulterior premise, if you will, that we need to be prepared by the Word of God for the seasons we're in. Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. He says, and that knowing the times, having knowledge of the season of life you're in, not concerning age, but concerning what kind of warfare you're in. Okay, that's what we're instructed to do in the Word of God. Listen to this. During warfare is not the time to build relationships to help. That's supposed to be done before warfare. Did y'all hear what I said? I didn't even know where it was at, but Haley found an old picture I don't even know how I ended up with it or where I got it. I mean, it's obvious, but it was a picture of my old basic training platoon that I was in. I mean, that's been 100 years ago. Back in 1983, I looked at that picture, and listen, as bad of a memory as I have, I could call many of the names of the guys that was in my platoon. I knew who they were. There was a reason. During basic training, I'd never met those guys. But we had, I don't know how many weeks it was. Do you remember how many weeks it was? Six or something. During that time, you got to know those guys in a tremendous way. Here's why. You was preparing to go to war with them. You was preparing to go to war with them. And I'll never forget this. In my platoon, there were certain guys that I said, yep, I'd be in a foxhole with him. Hey, was one little guy. I'm small, but he was like this. His name was Angel Morales. And let me tell you, that joker knew how to fight. He was an expert with a rifle. He had every discipline down in an expert. And I looked at Angel Morales, and he became one of my best buddies in basic training. You know why? Because if I had to go to war and get in the foxhole, it's going to be with somebody who knew what they was doing. Say amen.
Amen.
I've been saying this over the last several years. Ken's heard me say this. I will not hook my wagon to just anybody during this season of life. I'm not going through warfare like I used to. I used to invite everybody to come hook your wagon together and let's fight the enemy. I learned real quick that the full armor of God is all about what you're wearing on the front side. It's the body of Christ that's got you back. You better be careful who you hook your wagon to, or you're liable to get knifed in the back. See, when everything's down, when you're going through the pit of a warfare in your life, you need somebody that you know can get a hold of God. You need somebody that you know when they pray, they're praying from the sincerity of their heart. They're not blinded by their own ambition. They're not blinded by their own flesh. They're not blinded by their own desire. They're not filled with their own lust, but they're really walking in the Spirit of God. And when they utter a prayer, it's a revelatory prayer that even they don't know, but it adds to your strength. That's the kind of people you got to go to war with. Those kind of relationships needs to be built before warfare begins. Look here, during warfare of any kind will reveal to you what's really in you. Did you hear that? Warfare of any kind will reveal to you what's really in you. How many of you have ever run into somebody when life gets tough? Seems like the first thing they do is quit going to church. Have you ever heard tell of that?
I mean, seriously, and it's almost like you can talk to them, and from the sincerity of their heart, you can say, hey, brother, been missing you in church. Well, I know, but boy, been going through some rough things. What? That's the time to go to church. Not the time to quit. Well, I just woke up this morning, man, I had this situation come up Saturday, and I was all to pieces. I just couldn't get, what? That's the time you go to church. How many of you know that I cannot stand to go to a doctor? How many of you know that? So it was a few of you know that. I mean, listen, the night that I had the surgery, I called Lisa, who's a nurse, and I said, Lisa, I'm having a little problem. You think I ought to go? And I was about to talk myself out of going. I'm serious. And Lisa said, if you're calling me to ask, you need to go. That's what she said. Then I called Joe Barrett because it was a Saturday night, and I said, I was up in the air. I thought, well, I think I can pull it off till tomorrow. You know, I mean, and I was trying my best to, well, I had a ruptured appendix. I needed to get to, I can't stand to go to the doctor. How stupid is that? When you're sick, you need to go to the doctor. That's when you need to go to the doctor. I'm learning that. Say amen. Amen. So when Haley started with her breathing, and I said, you're going to the doctor. We're going to the doctor. Doctor. Listen to this. When you're discouraged, that's the time you need to be at the house of the Lord. When you're depressed, you need to go to church more, not less. You're having a battle in your life. Get where there's strength. Say amen to the truth. We need to quit acting so silly about this thing of warfare and start responding right. And especially in this season for the Grace Place. Watch this, I got so much to do. The specific warfare that we're under that I think is talked about through the book of Job, and we can learn about this specific warfare in the book of Job. It's designed around third heaven spirit world warfare that's coming against our church right now. And listen to this, watch this. Here's the important thing. Here's the supernatural thing that we miss about the spirit world. Guess what? Ken and Lisa Martin come to this church. They attend this church. This is their church. Me and Ken had a conversation. I don't know if it was this week or last week, but we were talking about, we've never seen a church like this one. Never seen a church like this one. I've never been a part of it. I've preached in churches from everywhere, from the Midwest to the East Coast up into the Northwest. I've never seen a church like this one. I say this, and I'm going to say it out loud because we're already in warfare. I wouldn't say this if we wasn't in this season, but I'm going to say it. There's a level of purity in this church I've never seen existed in another church. I'm talking about spiritual purity. I'm not talking about we're free from sin. I'm just talking about how there's no pretense here. There's no religion here. There's people seeking God here. Okay? Now, some are seeking God more than others, and I understand that, but this, I've never seen a church like this one. But we are under attack, okay? And because we're under attack, Ken and Lisa goes to this church. But guess what? The warfare that will come against them for coming here will not just affect them. It won't even just affect those that's here now. It's going to affect those in their circle of influence that don't even come to this church. Do you hear what I just said? Ken's got children, grandchildren. They're going to come under attack. Their grandson, James, just like me, every other Friday. I think it's going to be now once a month, but he has to go in for infusions, just like taking chemo. Little James, Savannah's youngin', that comes here. Okay? He's got a daughter, Jordan. Joe's got daughters. Roger and Debbie's got children. Odie, you got kids. Everybody that's here, your circle of influence will come under attack because you're here. Did you hear what I just said? I can back it up by the Word of God. I'm just trying to get you to understand that specific warfare is different than general warfare. Watch this. Job 1:6. Well, here's where we begin. Everybody say, I'm listening. Job 1:6, here's where we begin. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. This is where you begin with understanding of true, specific, spiritual warfare. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So get it framed in your mind what's going on. Watch. The first step in preparing for this kind of warfare is to get familiar with what's happening in heaven right now. You got to know what's going on in heaven right now. How many of you are looking forward to going to heaven? Some of the events that's going on in heaven right now are different than the events that's going to be going on in heaven when we get there. Okay? I'm telling you that this is an unusual season that we're in. So we've got to get familiar with what's happening in heaven right now. And Job 1:6 gives us some insight into that. Okay? Why would the sons of God, which by the way, and we'll get to this, I'm sure it's in the, I was trying to make slides and be concise. I wanted to get everything in there so that you could see it. So this is probably in there, and I'm going to mention it probably ahead of time and get ahead of myself. But what you got to understand is anytime in the Old Testament that you read the term sons of God, it is a reference to angelic beings. It begins in Genesis 6, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Angels, angelic beings, created beings of the host of heaven in the Old Testament are referred to as sons of God. In the New Testament, sons of God are referred to as the redeemed, born again children of God. Everybody say amen. So the sons of God of Job chapter 1 are angelic beings. You with me? So this is going on in heaven right now. Angelic beings are presenting themselves before the Lord right now. What does that mean exactly? Here it is. Old Testament references to the sons of God are always referencing angelic beings, both evil and good. Both evil and good are presenting themselves before the Lord. The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And here's the question, what does this mean? If you want to really understand specific designed warfare that is against an individual or a local corporate body, then we have to understand what it means for the sons of God to present themselves before the Lord. What the sons of God are doing is what that means. Listen to this. 1 Kings 22:19. Everybody say, I'm listening. And he said, who is it? I'm going to give you a little background. This is the king of Israel talking. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left hand. Okay, look at the next verse. Zechariah 6:5. So extremely important. Zechariah 6:5. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Okay, now hear that. Everybody say, I hear it. So here's what we've learned so far. The sons of God present themselves periodically before the Lord. Okay? And in these two verses of Scripture, what we find is they don't stay there. They go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Let me give you this verse of Scripture. Hebrews 1:13 through 14. Listen to it closely. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now everybody wave up here at me and say, I'm listening. Here's what's going on. The angels of God have particular assignments from the Lord. Created beings have particular assignments, jobs to do. Angels are not just floating around in heaven with harps singing praises to the Lord. They have jobs to do. And many of them even come under the condemnation of Satan and become fallen angels. We have references to that both in Genesis and Revelation. Okay? But now watch this. There are angels, and you've heard me say this, repetition is good. In the second heaven, there are angels, both good and satanic, that are doing battle. Why are they battling? I'll tell you why. Angels have assignments from God to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. How many of y'all been saved? Oh, well, you know about that. Do you know that there's a host of angels that have an assignment to guard you? This is merely the first step, and I've got to hurry. I can't belabor that. Just hear that again. Let me just say it one more time so you'll hear it, and then I'll go on. You have a host of angels. I don't know how many. You know, the world calls it guardian angels. It's a pretty good term, but can I tell you, everybody gets in their mind, I have a guardian angel. Well, according to what Jesus said, he could have called 10,000. I got to tell you, I've seen the way some of y'all drive a vehicle. You better have more than one. And you do. Mackenzie's got, I don't know how many angels I've prayed down to watch her. Just in hearing what Haley says about her driving. I mean, listen, Haley rode with her to Brevard one time, come home, and I had to pray with her for 3 days to get her through it. I mean, Mackenzie just can't drive. Not a cow to water, she can't drive. She drives too fast. She's Dale Earnhardt incarnated or something. There's something that goes on in her brain. She calls it what? Purposeful driving, she says. Yeah, it's on purpose, all right. There is a host of angels guarding her. And can I tell you, there's a host of angels that have an assignment from God about you. And watch this. Here's what's important. Job tells us this. Those angels have to periodically present themselves before the Lord to give a report of what they're doing on their assignment. That's why they're standing and presenting themselves before God. Go back in the Hebrew language, the term present means to give report of. Okay? So they're reporting to God on your behalf. What can we learn about the ministry of the angels? Boy, I've got to hurry. I've got so much to say. Angels have specific assignments to carry out on the earth. How many of you understand that right now? That's going on right now. They have specific assignments to carry out on the earth. They have to report back to God for that. Watch this. Angels must present themselves before the Lord to give reports of what they're doing on the earth. So the land is involved. Watch this. If you compare, everybody say I'm listening. If you compare Zechariah 6:5, that's a verse of scripture we talked about, the four spirits, the four winds. If you compare that to Daniel 7:2, which we didn't put that scripture up, but you need to read them. Compare those scriptures. Here's what you can conclude. We can conclude that the work of politics, that's why the church is supposed to be engaged in the political forum. Everybody say amen. Amen. Separation of church and state. That ain't nowhere found. Can I tell you what Newsweek magazine reported in back in the 70s? How many of you know Newsweek magazine or ever heard of it? Newsweek. At one time, it was like one of the leading periodicals in our nation. Newsweek magazine reported this back in the 70s based on historical research. Here's what they had found, that the Bible, the Word of God, was more our founding document than the Constitution. Since the 70s, that's how it's changed in America. If you compare these scriptures, angelic beings have assignments that includes the work of politics, military power, economic power, and government rule, which is a part of the assignments of the angelic beings, both from fallen angels as well as from the heavenly host. In other words, there are principalities and there's powers that govern certain territories, that govern certain governments, that govern certain nations. Some would call it Greek mythology. How many of you have ever heard of that? And some would say that that Greek mythology is just a myth. I might submit to you that it maybe is not such a myth. It could be that they are just naming fallen angels that have become principalities and govern certain territories. These are the assignments of ministering angels. Watch, the angels of God have interest in the people of God who dwell on the earth. You're dwelling behind enemy lines, according to Zechariah 6:5 and Daniel 7. You're living behind enemy lines, and therefore it requires a host of angelic beings to carry out their assignments for our safety here on the earth. Everybody say amen to that. Now, what is Satan doing in this specific warfare? We're just now getting started. Y'all know that? What is Satan doing in this specific warfare? This is important to me that you hear this. You need to have this understanding. Satan was among the angels in Job. You remember Job 1:6? The sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Who was with them? It said, and Satan was also, watch this, among them. He was among them. Satan was among the angels as they presented themselves before the Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan himself is transformed even into an angel of light. The deceptive power of Satan. Among the assignments of the host of heaven sent to guard you, there is the transforming power of fallen angels and fallen demons, if you will, to allure you by your own flesh nature and through spiritual enslavements. Boy, I'd like to go on with that. What was Satan doing there? There was a specific reason why Satan was there. A specific reason. I'm going to go on. This is important. Satan reveals his present day work on the earth. He says this, when God said, hey, Satan, what are you doing here? What have you been doing? Give me your report. Everybody say, I'm listening again. The angels are there to give reports based off of their assignment, and God called Satan out. And he said, what have you been doing? Here's what Satan said. I've been walking to and fro in the earth. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, this is in keeping with the same thing he was doing even with Job. Here's where we get into some specific things, though. I want you to see this. God already knew why Satan was there, which was why God said, have you considered my servant Job? Now I'm going to submit something to you. We're going to close with this. Everybody say, I'm listening. I used to believe, and I still do to some degree, I've even preached this. Don't you know that Job was just applauding God, saying, thanks God for bringing me up. I mean, here's a guy that he wealthy, had a great family, everything going great. I mean, everything wonderful in his life. Couldn't have been no better as far as being an inhabitant of the earth. Wasn't long till his kids die, tragically. He loses all of his wealth. He loses then his health. And then his wife looked at him and said, you disgust me. Curse God. Oh, so significant. Curse God, she said, and die. Now watch this. I got to tell y'all something. This is so significantly important. When I got sick and started with this surgery and everything that started down the pike with me, one of the greatest blessings that I had, and I'm honest with you when I say this, was when I was in the hospital, and after the surgery, some of you know that
and heard that, and this kind of thing happens to me for some reason, but I had the surgery and they didn't plug in the pain machine. So for hours, I didn't have pain medicine and I was kind of going a little stupid. And Haley said, I kept raising up in the bed and hitting myself in the head saying, I can't focus, I can't focus, I can't focus. But I heard her praying. I heard her worshiping. And in that moment, if I can say this to my shame, I'm telling you to my shame. In that moment is when I knew, she's going to kill me for saying this. We've been married for 11 years. But I knew in that moment, that woman loved me. And it was like the weirdest thing came over me. Job's wife, on the other hand, said this, "You're disgusting. This God you serve ain't working out for you or me. You need to commit suicide and die." That's what Job's wife said. Y'all with me so far? Okay, so he loses his children, they die. He loses his money, he's broke. He loses his health, and then his wife leaves him. You know why? He was under specific warfare from Satan. Now watch this. Job undoubtedly would have said, if he would have known about all that was going on in heaven at the time, would have said, "Hey God, appreciate you bringing me up in conversation." Can I tell you why God brought him up? Because that's why Satan was there. God knew why Satan was there. Satan was presenting himself before the Lord to gain permission to test through specific warfare this man named Job. God, who knows everything, said, "Satan, have you considered Job?" Why did God bring him up? Because if God hadn't, Satan was. Did you hear what I said? I'm closing with this, okay, and then we'll go on into the next service. Watch. In specific warfare, Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Amen. Hello. Please tell me y'all heard what I just said. If you can't shout over that, there's not a shout nowhere in you. Satan can't do nothing but what God first don't say, okay. Now, when I think about that and I think about what Grace Place has been coming under, here's, y'all are not going to believe me. I was out on the front porch the other morning, I was thinking about this thing, and that thought hit me, and I went, "Oh God, thank you that I'm part of a church that you can allow Satan to test because you know we're going to respond this way. Though you slay me, Lord, yet will I trust you."
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
We're being tested because God knows we can bear it. Please tell me y'all heard that. Listen to this. Dave came up to me last week. He said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing good." And he said, "Yeah, you're going to keep doing good." I was right. But either way, I win. Praise God. Either way, this church wins. But you got to be prepared for the warfare that is ahead. Now, I'm not even close to done, but we'll pick up here next week because this is extremely important to me that you know the elements of how to respond during this specific season of time of attack in your life and in our life as a family. Say amen to that. Have you heard me? Father, bless your word. And go with us now in the next service and bless the worship. And bless our pastor. I know, Lord, you've given him a great word for us. And we love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.